Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your host, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Okay, welcome back into the House of Mystery, and of course I'm sitting at the wheel. This is Al Warren in the middle of fires, burning, baby, burn. And Mr. Dave Martino is sitting on the side just having a good time doing his nails.
Doing my nails, wearing a dress.
Oh, you were in a dress today.
That's what you said the other day. So.
Well, I know, but that was appropriate for the show. Not appropriate for this. This is a serious show. Jesus. Save your dress for Mr. Garrick Jones, and everyone needs a dress when he's on. Like when you have RuPaul on, you got to wear one, right? Because this is not RuPaul here. This is RuPaul with bad makeup. This is not. Now we've got a newbie. Actually, I'm always scanning around social media, and I find someone that looks interesting. Looks like they got some really good stuff coming around, and I thought, well, let's do it. So here we go. We've got Mr. Jeff Oliver sitting on the line. How are you doing today, Jeff?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Better than Dave. That's
pretty good.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Jeff. So let's talk about this. Now you kind of write in the horror area, and you also do a lot of poetry and stuff. I see all sorts of things going on here. But let's talk about where it started for you. So how did Jeff decide he wanted to be a writer?
I was 11 years old, sitting in the corner of my own room, cowering.
Cowering? How come?
I was scared.
What kind of things scare you? Like what kind of, at that time?
Being abused would be one. But that's what started me writing. Right there. And it just went from there. I just wrote. I opened journals frantically. I'd stack them just to pass the time and get away from it all.
So do you feel it was kind of an escape then, or?
It was an escape and a pleasure at the same time. I felt better when I was doing it. But then if I wasn't doing it, I was just frantic, losing my mind as a child. But I did grow out of all of that, and I made myself stronger from it by writing. And that's what built me to who I am today. That taught me a lesson when I was 11 years old. I was like, I'll never treat someone like this. From there on out, my family, I love my kids, they love me. Never had my father as a child, but can't miss someone you never knew, right?
Right. Okay, so when you're 11 and you're sort of going through bad times and writing is kind of a a savior in a way for you. It's kind of something that, that keeps you going and gives you a good direction. What was it that kind of lit the fire for you to actually think you could start publishing what you write and start putting it out there for the world to see?
Well, that didn't really come till I met my wife. She inspired me to do it. She's like, your work is great. Just go for it. So I did. So my wife is the one who lit that fire under me back in 2012. I did a self-published run. I did a self-published book. It was called Strange Sounds. That was my very first. That's on my author page as well. That came out in not till like 2017. Yeah, that was my first one. My wife was my inspiration. I love her so much.
You know, that's great. I mean, I think it helps people to have that backup.
She's the light to my darkness. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think it's good that we all have that. Did you not feel confident enough in yourself?
No, not then. I just thought it'd be burned one day. Yeah, I just thought I did burn a couple as a child that I didn't want to remember. So I just threw the journals in a fire pit and burned them.
Wow.
Yeah, I wrote a book about it.
Talk about some of your writing here. Now, you do two books now. You've got volume one and two of Scattered Thoughts.
Yes.
Now, what is Jeff Oliver's Scattered Thoughts?
Everything. Every emotion that you can think of and every emotion that you can't. I mean, I just write every emotion most people don't even know they have. I've been told that a lot. I didn't know I could feel like that. Stuff like that. There's love, there's madness, there's demons. It's just a scattered mess. No pun intended, but it's a scattered mess.
So you have scattered thoughts, so it kind of covers a whole area of, you know, love and all sorts of things going on in your horror. All this sort of stuff going on. But what is it about a certain thing that you decide that it's going to be in the book? Like, how do you choose which thoughts you're gonna write down and put in a book like that?
There's not really a process. I just pick the ones that I think are going to hit hardest. It's going to connect the most. Someone out there struggling, they need a lift. Just read that.
Is that sort of what you know when you put one of these books together? Are you sort of hoping that that's what it does? Like you lift people up or you connect with them? Or what exactly is it that you hope someone takes away from one of your books?
All of that and more. I mean, it actually does all those things. I've been told that a lot, actually. It does. It lifts everybody up. It makes people mad. It makes people smile. It makes people scream. Makes people cross their eyes. I mean, there's a lot of things about my writing that I could say, but it'd probably be a new book. That would be a new book, probably. Like, what does it do? Everything. It connects with the emotions, with the soul. It's like, I needed this right now. Someone would say, I needed this. I needed this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just so many thank yous in a day that I get from people. It's amazing, and I'm very humbled.
It's great. When I was younger, I did some poetry. I kind of got away from it, but I kind of, you know, I just kind of went with, I guess I kind of romanticized it as like jazz, like whatever came out just came out onto the page. I was wondering, do you have a specific structure that you use for your poetry?
I think of The Door. I think of Jim Morrison, best poet alive in my mind. Or best poet that was alive in my mind was Jim Morrison. He's one of my major inspirations in poetry. I can look around the room and say, hey, there's my son's rabbit. I'm going to write about that rabbit. And I'll write a poem about it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, Jim Morrison just connects with me like nothing else. Like The Doors. There's nothing else that does that. You know what I mean?
Is your poetry lyrical?
Yes. I write it top to bottom, vertical, like a short verse, strap, then I just flow it. Most of the times I'll write them live. I'll just rewrite them, like from a book or something that I have a new idea. I'll just rewrite them in real time, like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes me like 10 minutes to do one. Sometimes I do 8, 9, 10 a day.
Wow.
It depends on it. Yeah, it depends on the mood. One poem I wrote, I wrote it for Flash Fiction, for Crystal Lake.
Yep.
I wrote it in my lyrical format. It was like 583 words or something. I wrote that in like 30 minutes.
Wow.
And then they accepted it as a finalist when I submitted it. It's called The Man Beneath the Grave. That's coming out. The voting polls will be up on the 31st. First on Crystal Lake's page for the voting for the short story winner for August.
Great.
But yeah, it just flows, man. I don't know where or why, but it does.
Do you do a lot of editing, or do you just, does it all come out?
No, I don't edit at all. I don't, I just, bam. I mean, I just, if it, it is what it is when it comes out. So they get the real feeling. I'm not there, I'm not sitting there editing 90, 100 minutes a day or hours a day. I just flow it out. That's for the page anyway. My books, I get edited, of course. But
it's raw emotion.
Yep, raw. That's all I do. Raw. Whatever I'm feeling. And I can go back in my past and pull out an emotion and write about it. I can think about what I want to do with myself and write about it, like future. And whatever's happening around me, which is present. So I just do it. I mean, I could read you guys one from Scattered Thoughts, too, if you want. Thinking about going live on my page here soon, too. Words from the Soul. I haven't done that in about a year. The one I'm going to read to you is called Scars.
Okay.
An excerpt from Scattered Thoughts, Volume 2. Published by Cosby Media Productions. All right. My scars tell my story. I have quite the inventory. My failures are my glory as I rose up from the flames. I learned my name. I erased my shame. A once shattered heart healing in the rain. My open mind has saved me many times from myself. It taught me how to walk quietly through the walkways of hell. I used to think I was a burden to everything around. Then I learned so peacefully how to calm myself down. I listen to the sounds that pound in my mind. I have finally found the peace that I needed to find. I walked through that darkness. I found myself there. The flames left marks, but I didn't care. Another scar to carry peacefully into the night. Another beautiful reason teaching me how to fight. There are stories within the ink if you pay close attention. Sometimes the pain just stings as I gaze at my reflection. I know that perfection is a story in itself, but I've seen a perfect flame when I used to burn in hell. The colors flowed so beautifully, some exactly the same. I stared at them so intensely, trying to block out the pain. Then in a thunderous shout, in came the cooling rain, putting out the fire as it whispered me my name. Scars are for a reason. Carry them with pride. There should not be a story that you should ever hide. It hurt for a reason. It hurt for a cure. It hurt so you could open brand new doors. Scream into the stars if you have to. Let the world know your name. Explain to them the reason you burned in those flames. There are stories within the ink if you pay close attention. Sometimes the pain just stings as I gaze at my reflection.
When you write something like that, as it's very emotional, very close to you.
Yes.
You know, putting that out there, you're putting a lot of your emotion, you're putting a lot of your own thoughts, and which covers pain and love and all this sort of stuff, but it's very raw. Yeah, but when you do that, do you worry about how people are going to react to it? Or do you think, you know, because you're exposing a part of yourself, you're exposing a lot of yourself to just anybody. So it's not like just to your wife or to close friends or family. You're actually just putting it out there so that anybody can pick it up and then say anything. And this is the type of world now that we're in that, you know, they're so easily connectable to each other and to people you don't know. Do you feel sort of a little vulnerable by doing that?
Not at all. It just is. I mean, like my one work, lead me to be as strange as a wish. I never asked for any of this. It just is. I mean, and I'm, there's a lot of people out there going through the same thing that I am. Like, been there, done that. Like, that's my life. That's what I write about my wife. Like, oh man, I wish I had someone like that or all this, that. It's, yes, it's, I don't feel vulnerable. I just hope my work can help someone.
I'm wondering, with you reading that again, thinking about going live and stuff with your poetry, have you ever done performance poetry, poetry slams? Is that something that you're looking to do? Okay. Is that something that you would like to do? Is that something that you're trying to get into?
I never really thought about it. But now that we're doing the voiceovers and stuff, I'm starting to think about that more and more. I also have some other things in the works for poetic fiction. It's actually a screenplay. I'm working on that with a friend of mine. His name is Ronaldo Torres, and I'm planning on starring in it, trying to act for the first time and stuff, you know? I could be that character, you know, because I know that character. Hmm. So that's a thing in the process that's going to be good, I think.
Do you find that... Through writing poetry, do you find that whether it's screenwriting or writing novels or short fiction, do you find that it makes you a more efficient writer? Or do you feel that the writing poetry, you know, helps with your prose?
I believe it does. Even my wife said, like, when I first met you to now, the way you've gotten so much better over the years is amazing. That's what connected me with my wife is my writing. Like, that's how we met, through my writing. It's amazing. She's seen my one. I posted something many years ago. I cannot remember what it was to this day. I've been looking. But that drew her to me, and we started talking. And after that, here we are almost 10 years later.
I'm looking at poetic fiction. You know, journals of a silent screams. Now, what's the premise? Like, what's the story behind this? Maybe tell the listeners what it is.
A child suffering through abuse, schizophrenia, mazes, delusions, an abusive parent, different realities. I mean, I don't have it in chapter form. I have it in journal form. So each journal entry has a date, like February 6, 2003. I mean, it jumps back and forth through time since he was born, since Xander was born, until the time he did what he did at the end. It's a poetic, rhyming, flowing novel. And I infuse characters into it and a storyline as well. Into poetry. So brought poetry and horror together.
Who is Xander, like, for you? Like, where did that character come from?
Xander, he came from all over in my emotions and my thoughts. I pulled him out of nowhere. But half of this is fiction, half is reality. Xander might have been me, it might have been a brother, might have been a friend. I let the reader decide who they think Xander is.
So when you're talking about Xander's journal entries, like what Xander is going through.
Yes, amazing. One of my reviews says it's almost hell itself.
How did you decide? Like, I mean, it's really interesting that you got, you know, like demons talk and shadows surrounding him. So what? Mm-hmm. So how do you decide what setting and what world he is in?
He's in many worlds throughout this book. Imaginary realities. He's jumping in and out. Sane asylums. He's married. His children are there. His children are ripped away. He's looking for them. He's a fisherman in Louisiana on a houseboat. He's everything. But in his mind, he's always been in the same place. In his mind, he was everywhere else. But in reality, he's been in the same place the whole time. Pretty much, yeah, pretty much hallucinations, and then it explains why, then what he did about it, and what happened later on and all that. But yeah, I rhymed this whole novel. I mean, I infused my poetry into it. I wrote about Marcus. Marcus was Xander's brother in the book. Like, what happened when he was a kid? What happened as he grew? What he did? What he became? I mean, I can read a journal entry from here if you'd like. I'll read like a one pager from November 19th, 2002. I do what I do. I do what I can to remain calm. I must fight off the claws. I am 20.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Now, putting my fist through walls, triggered so easily, certain sounds set me off. Certain smells cause chaos within my fractured soul. Growing up thinking everything is my fault, beaten into submission and forced to apologize for bleeding too much, screaming too much, eating too much. I flipped out before on her. I guess she forgot about that day. I felt my rage coming on again. She had moved away, but was coming back to town on a plane. I prayed that the plane would crash in flames. I prayed she would burn. Burn as she burned me, feel the pain as she inflicted on me. The bruises she left, the eternal regrets, the madness she raised me to be. I prayed she would burn in hell. I didn't want to see her, hear her, or be near her. I knew I would avoid it. I knew I couldn't avoid it. Did not expect what happens next. I've never in my life felt so intense. That's a page, December 19th, 2002.
And when you write a passage like that, you're creating these different characters. Do you have an inner monologue in your head? Do you hear the characters when you write, or is it more images and symbols that you're translating?
I hear them and I see them. and chaos. It's chaos. It's chaos. I'm telling you.
What do you mean by that?
When I write, it's chaos. My thoughts are like twisting around like an F5 tornado. It's like, and it's chaos. There's emotions flying everywhere. There's thoughts flying everywhere. It's just, that's chaos. It's just like, it's ready to come out like now.
How were you able to get that onto the page? How are you able to translate those thoughts, those chaotic thoughts?
The best I can. The best I can, man. It's real.
Because it does seem you structure things.
I do. I try to. Yeah. I mean, but I don't. I wrote this book in 2 weeks, like literally 14 days. I was done. Had it to the editor.
Have any of the characters that you've written about, have they ever done anything that have surprised you?
Surprised me in the book? I had a poem in mind that would fuse into what I was saying. So I, throughout this book, I fused in poems that I had written in journals already. Madness illustrates what insanity demonstrates, while chaos illuminates what hell creates. How does that strike you?
Oh, it's very interesting. Can you elaborate on it?
Madness illustrates, meaning madness is painting the picture. Insanity is demonstrating that madness. The chaos of your thoughts are illuminating both of them. And what hell creates is what comes out.
Interesting.
Never got to explain that to anybody yet.
Exclusive.
Right.
Well, it's funny. So how do each one of these things, when you come up with them and you do them, and you write it down and it's done, do you think you change after each one of these things that you go through? Especially book, when you actually put out a book?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you change as you go. You evolve. As you're writing, you evolve. Like, hey, I never used that word yet. Or that rhymes with that. Never thought it did. You know, I think about that kind of stuff, too.
I'm just trying to capture this. So a lot of times when you're doing your...
That's all good. I want you guys to capture.
Yeah, when you're writing and going through the process and everything... So the whole thing is really kind of about your process in a way. Not that it's not connecting or not that you don't want to. It's anything like that. It's not, we're talking about that. But you kind of just do it as it comes.
Yes.
And put it out there. And so it's kind of like you're going through your process and you're allowing people to watch or jump in or view or read it or feel it. You're letting people in, so to speak. You're letting people watch your process as you're going through it.
Oh yeah, a lot of people watch that.
You know, that's just my impression. But when you're doing that, then you kind of, when you get a connection, then you build off of that and you continue your process. So, in a way, by allowing yourself to be exposed, then that allows you to move forward as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's sort of how I see it. Like, I'm not sure. That's how I'm reading it. I'm not sure if this is right, but that's how I feel about it, looking outside in.
That's a good thing.
Because you're doing that as it comes, if it just comes to you and you put it out and you're writing it and putting it down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's a conscious thought of what you want people to get out of each piece that you write?
Whatever the piece is about, once they read through it, I mean, there's no real subject.
Right. But it means something to you. Like, what I'm saying is, so
yeah, every,
you put it out there and it comes from somewhere inside, okay? So you put it down and you know this is good. It feels good. It feels right. Or it feels bad and it feels right, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. But
it's once horrifying.
It's horrifying and it's right and whatever, but then someone connects with it and then you take that and move further.
I'm glad it connects too.
Right.
I'm really, really, really glad. And that's a good feeling too when that happens.
So in a way, the whole process is kind of your connection, right? It's all there. So in a way, you don't really think about what you're saying. It's not like you sit there and plan, okay, I'm going to write this. It just sort of comes out, right? So I'm just wondering if sometimes you surprise yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So when you do, like, see, this is interesting. So now you just sort of, it comes to you, you write it out and you do it, and then you look at it and go, wow, I mean, I didn't know that was
there. I could do that.
Right. So that in itself, that moment that happens, what's that feeling like for you? Like, what does that mean to you?
It feels amazing because I've been working toward this forever. It feels amazing. I mean, it's like a magic feeling that you're proud of yourself. Everybody should be proud of themselves in some way or another too.
Right. But, you know, but I'd imagine now this is, okay, so it's pretty amazing. So you take this, and so you've just written a little piece, and you kind of look at it and go, wow, this is, I didn't know I had this, or I didn't know. But do you recognize where that comes from in your life right away, or does it take time?
Sometimes it's toward the middle. Sometimes it's the beginning. Sometimes I don't get it to the last word.
But
it all depends on the words. Like, if I get a trigger from my wife, I love. I mean, I'm feeling good, happy, writing. Writing about her, my heart's beating fast. You know, she always used to tell me, you make my heart beat fast. I always like that. But yeah, it depends on the writing or the words. Sometimes it'll hit me in the middle. Sometimes it won't hit me to the last word. But it does hit me.
Well, after writing, whether it's poetry or prose fiction, and especially, like, you write a lot of dark stuff, a lot of dark scenes, and a lot of dark stanzas or what have you, do you have a way to decompress after this? Or do you even need to decompress? Can you just move on to the next thing?
I just move on and play with my kids. Yep. Play with my kids. My son has a gray dog that's falling apart. He likes his gray dog, so. And he'll even talk with the thing with me. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I move on. Just move on. Talk to my wife, hang out, whatever.
Do you have any hobbies or activities that you put into your poetry or prose?
The only thing I really do is write and take care of my family. Let me think. I like books. I like old books. But yeah, like, I'll move on. I'll write something dark and terrifying. I was like, hey, kid, want to play? Something like that. But there's many to choose from, so.
We talked about Jim Morrison. Who are your other influences?
Stephen King.
Hmm.
Of course. Richard Chismar. Josh Malerman. Mm-hmm. Joe Lansdale. I wrote a poem with Joe Lansdale.
Oh, wow. How was that?
It was awesome. I was like, what? He said yes. He's like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
And what was the process like working with Joe Lansdale and getting that poem together with him?
He sent me his part. I wrote my part out. It was just a quick copy-paste type of deal. He just like, bam. I was like, bam. And he was like, we love it. I put it on a photo. It happened so fast, man. I was like, bam. He's an awesome guy, too. Very down-to-earth. Lots of inspirations in writing and movies, Stephen King movies. I like the Bird Box movie. That was a good one, too. But, yeah, I watched horror movies as a kid, too, of course, so... As a kid, we watched horror movies back in our time.
Yeah, we certainly did.
Scattered Thoughts 1, 2, and 3. 3 is already done, too. 3 is submitted. I don't have a release date on Scattered Thoughts 3. 1 is done, 2 is done, and 3 was submitted like last 4, 5, 6 months ago. Something like that.
Do you ever think you're going to change the style of writing, like or what you're writing about? Do you think you'll ever go in a different direction?
I'll never change. I love being strange.
Well, not that it's not strange, but I mean, you can go in strange and not what you're writing now. I'm just, you could be strange in other ways too, right?
Oh, yeah. I just like that line. That's one of my favorites that I did. That's just me.
Well, that's good. What do you want people to know about you? Okay, someone's listening, and they've never heard of you before. And they go, oh, who is this? This guy's poetry, dark, all this stuff. What can they expect to get from you if they pick up one of your books?
Real emotion. Real horror. Real experiences. Fiction. Every emotion in their soul. I mean, if you wanna read something that hits home, just read something by me.
Do you like people to get in contact with you, or do you like to correspond with people?
I collaborate. I haven't collaborated in a long time because it's getting too overwhelming. I just turned my messenger off because I get like 100 requests a day to write. Like people all over the world.
Better to be in demand, right? Than
yeah. I don't know that. Most of it was like spammers. Or you get like spam messages. Right. More of that than
real people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I turned that off, because somebody tried to get to my page at one point, so took care of that. But real emotion. If you've never experienced real emotion, you need to read something from me. That's what I've been told. It's like, I've never read anything this real. You just have to scroll through. Their comments are incredible. I just, like, I'm humbled by everything that's going on. Came out of nowhere, too. Well,
you know, take it as it comes. Do you have a website, or do you have a place that you want people to come find you?
I don't have a website yet.
No. So is Facebook kind of the place that they find you, or a publisher?
Facebook's the biggest. Yeah. Facebook's the biggest place you could find me. I don't really mess with Twitter. I don't like it very much. But Facebook's the main place, really, you can find me right now until I can actually get the website going.
Yeah. Yeah, it all takes time, you know. It all takes time to go. How has everything been for you for the pandemic and your friends and family and stuff?
Oh, like man, that? We've been through a lot.
Yeah, tough time, man.
Lots of loss. So.
Yeah, it's tough for a lot of people, and
lots of loss, but perseverance through the loss. You got to persevere through the storm. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Tell my kids, it could always be worse, but we can do it. Push through, be good, be strong, and we got everybody here for each other. So that's what we do.
Well, that's a good thing. Good thing.
We're always together. We're always doing family what family should do. Something I didn't have as a kid, you know?
Well, that's good. You know, be proud of yourself. You've come from a tough place, and you've made it a better place for people younger, like your kids and stepkids and everything.
I want them all to graduate with honors, I tell them.
Yeah.
We've been homeschooling them, so we do that too.
Yeah, it's quite a life. A lot of things going on, you know.
Lots. I am a scatterbrain for sure.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're sounds like you're going in the right direction, and you're doing the right thing. You know, you're working it, and
I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying.
Yeah. So what's kind of coming up for you? What's next? You said you're going to put the Scattered Thoughts 3 out, or?
Oh yeah, there's Scattered Thoughts 3. I'll send you the cover to my other book that's coming out that I haven't mentioned yet. It's called Drops of Insanity. It's a book I put together pretty quickly. It's the Drops of Insanity. It's short horror poetry, like you see on my page.
Right.
Short for the first, I can't remember, it's 55, 60 verses of it. And then I close it with a short story. And it's called, the short story is called Her Soul to Keep. I got that coming out end of September. I'll announce a release date and all that when time draws near.
It seems like you get these ideas, almost an urge, and you just do it, and you do it quickly. Is there a sense of urgency for you to get it out and to write it down and do it? It just, does it feel like there's a pressure, or does it...
No pressure. Just do it. See what happens. You know what I mean? But these books are published with Cosby Media Productions, which is my current publisher for the Scattered Thoughts series. And they are amazing so far. Braxton A. Cosby, you know who that is?
I don't. No, I don't.
He's a nephew of Bill Cosby. And he has a publishing company, and I am signed with them for 10 years. I got lots of more time to write more.
Yeah. Yeah. Still got time to go, you know. Go until you don't.
My goal is 50 before I'm done. Or more.
Or more. Well, there you have it. Well,
it all depends.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly been an interesting conversation with you, and I appreciate you coming around and talking to us for a while and filling us in.
Hopefully interesting in a good way.
Yeah, it's always interesting in a good way. Always. We never have.
I am an interesting person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jeff, Jeff Oliver,
yes, sir.
Fascinating person, and I'm glad you took the time, and thank you for being here.
I appreciate you guys having me. It's been an honor. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll say it.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts,
or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.